Maybe seat it. Could you just play a little bit? Hey, just as the offering plates passed, I think one of the things that I would ask of you today is what perhaps have you brought to this place that's a distraction? And I know there's a bat in the room, and it is a big distraction. I mean, if you know anything about me, to be honest with you, one of the creatures I fear is a mouse, and there's no worse creature than a mouse with wings. And so I get some of that sometimes. But I was just going to tell you that we're going to be talking about breaking free of worry. We talked about fear last week. This week we're going to talk about worry. And we're going to look at kind of a staple here every couple of years when we bring up Martha and Mary. And two sisters responding to the same God in the same house. And it's really interesting to me because I think that we can open the Word today, and there's a few hundred of us in here today, and somebody can get one thing and somebody can get another thing. Somebody can miss it and somebody can get it because Jesus is in the room. But Jesus is in the room. The Spirit of God is in the room. His Word is in the room. His people are in the room. And how could we miss a word? How could we miss the command or the promise to believe or the word to obey or the conviction to absolutely repent and turn? And I want to ask the question is when we look at these two sisters, this is Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh, and he's come into the home. And yet two different responses, one good, one not so good. And so I ask this morning as we finish this offering and as we pray that we'd not be like Martha, who's distracted by so many things, worried, bothered, but we'd be like Mary in her response to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who's in their home. Father God, we pray in Jesus' name that your Spirit would come and minister to us as we open the Word. Lord, I want to thank you so much for all that you do for us, all the things that you show us, all the things that you work in our lives. And I want to just come this morning to ask, Lord, that as we continue to talk about freedom, where we talked about freedom from the power of sin in this life, where we talked last week about the freedom of fear from fear, and today from the freedom of worry and being bothered by so many things. I ask in Jesus' name that we would today kill worry by choosing you, the one and only, that we break free from the propensity to worry, from the practice of worry. And I ask, God, that you would be so magnified in this place that as we go, perhaps you have convicted us. Perhaps you might encourage us. Perhaps you just might speak to us and wash us with this word. Come, Lord, as we open it, I pray that the scripture would come to life. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we are today in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. This is a wonderful chapter in God's in Scripture. You have the 70 being sent out, coming back, and recognizing the authority that you have as a believer to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Then you have the question, what is the greatest commandment? And of course, we have the picture of the Good Samaritan who loves his neighbor, who is actually his enemy. And then you have this wonderful story about Martha and Mary. Look at verse 38. As they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. More literally, moreover, she was listening to the word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to Jesus and she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good thing, the good part, the one thing, which shall never, ever be taken away from her." As I just mentioned, Jesus comes into this home. We know it's Bethany. It's about two miles from Jerusalem. And Luke is introducing Martha and Mary, but we also know they have a little brother named Lazarus. And the Bible will go on to say that Jesus, hey, eyes right here. Just kidding. Golly, bat, go away. Jesus comes into this house. Mary is wanting to serve Jesus, and that's not a bad thing. Amen. Some of you have the gift of service, the gift of hospitality. This is what she has. She wants everything proper. She wants everything right. She wants to entertain. She wants to show her hospitality, to show her giftedness of the great cook, the great chef that she is, and she wants to serve the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, it's noble. It's something that's important. And so when you see this woman, Jesus has come into her house. She's already probably been told that Jesus is coming. And some of you are like this, right? Most of you ladies, when you have company, you want everything perfect, right? And you get worried and you get bothered and you get distracted. Because you want everything right. You want clean floors. You want the things that are out of place in place. I mean, and you want to have a good meal, and you want to do that. And like I'm saying, that's great. That's wonderful. But you got something here that is so important in my mind. It's that you have Jesus, the Son of the living God, in your home. And Martha, the scripture says, when he enters, that she's distracted with all her preparations. She's distracted by all her, actually, it's like the literal is, and all her servings, all her things that she's doing for Jesus, the disciples that are in the home, and even for her brother and her sister. She wants it right. She wants it good. And the scripture says, she says she's distracted, the word means to be driven away, to be overoccupied, to be too busy about a thing that literally drags you all around the place. Have you ever been distracted? That thing that just takes you to different places in your mind, that brings you to different responses. And a lot of times those responses aren't godly. They're not goodly. They're not the response that we as believers ought to be walking in. And so this distraction is not only a distraction, but it's a worry. Because Jesus is going to say, and we'll see this a couple of times, we'll repeat this a couple of times, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things." Now the word worried does mean to be anxious. It's obsessive concern. That's what worry is. It's one thing to be concerned. It's another thing to be obsessive about it. You know what I'm talking about, the pit in the stomach that seems to be there constantly. The thought of just this worry that I have about something that might be coming, something that might not be coming. The same thing we talked about, fear. A false assumption about the future. And I want to suggest to you that that's what worry is as well. It is this over-concern about the future, and that future might be in 5 minutes. It might be in 20 minutes. It might be next week. And you're just worried. I mean, You're at this place where you don't have a whole lot of money left for the month, and you've got these bills coming in that need to be paid. And so we obsessively worry about it. Or the doctor has found something, and so you go back to test, and you go to these tests, and you're in the middle of it, and you've got an appointment, and in the middle of the appointment, or as you're waiting, there's just this obsessive worry where it's on my mind, and it is dragging me from one place to the other. This is Martha in just the simplest forms of wanting to just serve Jesus. I want to just say this. If she's worried, she's anxious. She has this obsessive concern. She has the pit in the stomach, the rapid heartbeat, the nauseous gut. And like fear, it's assuming the worst. And that's what worry will do to you. Assume the worst. There's a meaning of this word in the Greek that indicates peace, like P-I-E-C-E, okay? Like a peace. And some of the commentators talk about Martha was going to pieces over all the things she imagined that she had to do. Has that ever been you? That might be you right now. Distracted and worried. But then there's another word. Another word is bothered. It means to be troubled and disturbed about so many things. The right here, the right now, and possibly for some of us, all the time. Distracted, worried, and bothered. You look at that word bothered, it means I'm disturbed. I am off beat. I am off center. That's what this means. And what I want to suggest to you is that this worry can produce some things in your life that we see. Gosh, I wish I could get that thing. I am not worried and I'm not bothered. I'm just distracted right now, okay? Gee whiz. And don't worry, they really don't get in your hair, okay? So. I want you to notice what worry, being distracted and bothered, does to Mary. It caused her to compare herself with her sister. It'll cause you to compare with your circumstances to someone else's circumstances, someone else's things that they're going through that might seem to be going really well, and then something that you're not that's not, and you begin to compare. You can compare with yourself how things were last year, how things are now, and I compare with my life and the things in the past, or I compare myself with somebody else, and that's what she does. She compares herself with her sister. Mary's looking at what she's doing for Jesus and what her sister Mary is not doing for Jesus. She says, I'm doing all the serving alone. Don't you even care? She sees Mary as something that's not serving and not helping, that's something that Jesus would not be pleased with. And so she does this thing about, I'm just going to compare myself. And I want you to notice 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. He says, we're not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. Skip to verse 17 on the screen. But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. She thinks Jesus ought to be a whole lot more pleased with her than her sister. And what she does is she compares herself with herself and with her sister. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen that in your own life when you're worrying about stuff, things, and you're just working hard and you're doing what you think you don't need to do? Think about that for a moment. What does that bring you? Thank you, Jesus. My word. Man, God. All right. We're going to pray again, okay? Let's do that right now. Okay, all right. My word, I would have never done that. I'm just comparing myself with him right now, okay? Thank you, Chance. Lord, I want to thank you so much for the bat today. Yeah, you say in everything give thanks. You're sovereign God. We actually praised you this morning as creator God who made all things for purposes. And something that we think is as nasty as a bat was created for purpose. And I thank you for that today. Lord, I also thank you for the distraction for a moment. Because, Lord, I just know how distractions can consume us. And although it hasn't, no, as far as I know, no one's left because of the bat. But I just want to thank you. And, Lord, I really do thank you that it's out of the room. Thank you. Father, I pray that you would just bless this message on worry, because I think every one of us in this room are struggling with something, with this great temptation to obsessively be concerned about things, when we know that you're the great provider and the great Lord of it all. And again, I just pray that you'd be like Mary and that we'd let life flow out of that. We thank you, Lord. We bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Martha is looking at what she's doing for Jesus and what her sister is not doing for Jesus. And she's comparing herself. And I want to say this, comparison comes from the source of pride as well as discontentment. I mean, if you compare yourself with other folks, it's because you're prideful or you're just discontent. And that's what she is. She's prideful because she thinks she's doing better than her sister in the presence of Jesus. And so that's a pride thing. And then not only that, she is discontent. She's not happy with the circumstances. She's not happy with the situation. She's not happy about the stuff that I'm supposed to be doing compared to what she's doing. And so she's unhappy and she's discontent. I want to tell you this. When Paul says this, Paul says, I have learned to get along with a bunch and with little. I've learned the secret of contentment. I know how to get along with much, and I know how to get along with little. It is a great lesson to learn, because discontentment, I'm telling you, is not a good thing. The only time you want to be discontent is in your walk with God, because you want to know him more. You want to go to the next levels of Scripture, the next levels of Christ's likeness. But that's it. Mary's going to find this sweet contentment in the presence of Jesus. Not in the serving. Not in the running around. Not in the ministry. No, she's going to find it first in a growing, vibrant relationship with Jesus. And Martha is not doing that at the moment. And therefore, she compares. It's a source of pride. She's discontent. And then therefore, what does she do? It brings forth grumbling and complaining. Grumbling about her sister. To who? To the Lord. I'm complaining here, Lord. You don't even care that my sister has left me to do all the serving all alone. So I know you believe this. So tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. Tell her to get her act together. Because her act isn't together. Folks, do you hear what I'm saying? Comparison. Comparison of your children, comparison of your neighbor, comparison of the person you work with, your employer, your employee, the teacher down the hall, whatever. This comparison does, it brings about, it does bring about a discontentment. I'm discontent, and therefore I'm going to grumble and complain about it, and then I'm going to bring forth accusation. She accuses her sister of laziness, and she accuses the Lord of not caring. Do you see the downward spiral? And all because she's worried and bothered and distracted. She's a worrier here. And I'm just telling you, I can get in that movement, and I can start feeling sorry for myself, and I can start thinking of all the things that I've done for God, And I don't deserve this. I don't deserve it. And we all have the propensity for it because you know what I'm talking about. Because this is human nature. It's of the flesh. And if you've not experienced this before, come see me because I want you to counsel me. I want you to be our counselor because you've got something going. I'm here to tell you that you can break free from all worry. I'm just telling you what worry can do, with being distracted can do, with being disturbed or bothered about stuff. And so what is she doing? With a sense of entitlement, she's making demands of Jesus. She's assuming that Jesus agrees with her. She's bossy. She's bossing the Lord. Tell her to help me. I'm telling God what you need to be doing right now, right here. And here's this other thought. Martha's bordering on idolatry because she's substituting her gift, her motivational gift, the very thing that God gave, the gift of service and missions. She's substituting it for the main thing, which is Jesus and his word. That's what idolatry is. It's substituting something in my life to follow, to compare with, that gives me in my mind the success, and then I'll do all that in ministry and miss God who's in the room. It's what worry does. It's what being bothered does. It's what being distracted. Now, I got to say this because it's really important, because I get Martha. How many of you get Martha? Raise your hand. Yeah. You get her, right? Yeah. We get her because we feel like to be pleasing to God, I got to be doing instead of being. I got to be doing. I'm telling your pastor struggles with this. I struggle with it. I can have a full week. I mean, a full week, a wonderful week. And I'll get to a Friday and I have a little time. And within 2 hours, I'm feeling guilty that I'm not doing enough. When I have the time and the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus, not doing enough. Not doing enough. I got to do instead of find that place to be in the presence of God. And I want you to notice something also, though, about Martha. I want to finish this thought about Martha. It's that Martha, let me tell you a little bit more about Martha. Keep your place here because we're not going to leave it. But go to John chapter 11. It's not in your notes. I was just thinking about it when the bat distracted me, okay? Lazarus is dying. They call for Jesus. He waits 4 days. And by the time he gets there, he's 4 days in the tomb. And Martha goes to meet him at the cemetery. In verse 21, she says to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Wow. Martha, the servant who's worried and bothered about all these things at that moment, is a great woman of faith. Amen? Amen? How many of you get Martha? Well, you get her in your worrying and your stress, but when we get her in her faith, in her belief, she says it. "I know that if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And even now, I know whatever God, whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And he said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And then she says, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection of life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who believes, lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even who comes into the world." Amen. She says, "I have believed." It's in the perfect tense. It means I believe, I'm believing, and I will continue to believe the rest of my life. even though my brother's dead. At this moment, she's not blaming Jesus. He's not blaming. He's just saying, hey, I know that if you'd been here, you would have healed him. I know you would have done it because I know you love him and I know you love us. Well, Jesus had already said, I'm not gonna go straight to it because this, God is going to be glorified. And if you're to read on to the story, which is an awesome story, all Jesus does is just yells to the grave, hey, Lazarus, come forth. He comes forth. He's still wrapped in clothes, right? He's still got, you know, immediately the rotten flesh. He's clean. He's just got some grave clothes. And God says, hey, Jesus says, take the grave clothes, release him from the grave clothes. He's no longer dead. He no longer has the stench of death. He is now free. He is free from death. It's a picture of the resurrection of Jesus. It's the picture of the resurrection of the saints that Martha is saying that in the resurrection of the dead, that's going to happen. So I don't want you to leave thinking that I have something against Martha. Love Martha. It's just when he says, Martha, Martha, just like he says, well, I don't have a middle name, so my parents could never do that, use the middle name. When he's trying to get my attention, Martha, Martha, you're distracted, yes, and you're worried and bothered by so many things. If you get back to Luke, notice what he says. You're worried and bothered about so many things. Now watch, but only one thing is necessary. Because Mary has chosen the good part, which shall never, ever be taken away from her. You know, I love this thought. Martha is distracted, she's worried, she's bothered, and Mary's at the feet of Jesus. Now, in these days, to sit at the feet of someone who's teaching means that that's my teacher. He's my mentor. And I'm going to sit at his feet, and I'm going to listen to his word. Now, what that means is that that posture of sitting is in a wonderful sort of way, it's a posture of submission, a posture of respect. A posture of anticipation that God's going to speak a word into my life and this word's going to have meaning and this word is going to change my life. And she doesn't want to miss it. She doesn't want to miss the word that could change her life today because she knows that every time she sees Jesus, he's got something to say. And I'm going to say this, I believe this with all my heart, that every time you open your Bible, you have an opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus and Jesus to speak to your heart. Let me tell you, every single time, every single time, change your life completely. Add on to what the change God's doing. That's why I think in my heart, I believe, and I can relate to this, is that in my busyness, I can neglect the word and I can neglect what the Spirit of God wants to say to me, and therefore I neglect seeing my character formed more into the image of Jesus. Let me ask you, being distracted, being bothered, and being worried, has that ever done anything for you? No, it's just gotten you sick. That's what it does. It gets you sick. And gets you sick spiritually, emotionally, and gets you sick physically. Because worry will move into fear and all of that stuff. And I want to just tell you this. I want to say this with all my heart. I want to be a pastor who is sitting at the feet of Jesus. But I also want to be a pastor that ministers life. And sometimes, what do I do? Worry? Bothered, distracted? Or do I sit at the feet of Jesus? Do I listen for? The word means to hear, to perceive, to comprehend, to understand. I mean, at this moment, I you know what? I just think they're two sisters. They've grown up together. They're young adults, maybe middle-aged. I don't know. Scripture doesn't say. But at this point, I don't think Mary cares what Martha thinks at this point. I don't think she does. Because Jesus is in the room, and I'm going to choose. I'm going to choose life here. I'm going to choose the kingdom of God. I'm going to choose what Jesus has to say to me. Now, folks, that doesn't mean that we do that all day. You got work to do. You got jobs to do, responsibilities that God has given to you. But I just promise you, when you'll sit at the feet of Jesus in the morning time, and then you get a word to live on for the rest of the day, I'm telling you, your day goes much, much better. Amen. It just does. Because you're hearing and you're hearing to do. And I believe with all my heart, that's Mary's posture. I want to listen, I want to absorb, and I want to walk from this place knowing what I'm supposed to do. Let me tell you what she did. She did what Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. She chose the one thing, Jesus and his word. That's what she did, the necessary thing. That's her testimony. Her testimony is that I'm going to default to the one thing that's more important than anything, and that's my relationship with Jesus. And the way I grow in my relationship with Jesus is that I have to hear from him and then respond appropriately. I can't tell you how many times people come into my office or we're over coffee. I ask how they're doing, and they say, I'm not doing so good. And I say, well, have you been in the Word? Have you been in the Word? And if you have been in the Word, are you doing the Word? Are you finding out what God wants as a man, as a husband, as a dad, as a grandfather, as a friend, as a man in the church, as a man in the community, as a man in his job? Are you hearing what God is saying so that I can walk in agreement with it? This is Mary. She's choosing the one thing. Now, I want you to let go of this for a minute. Well, keep your place in there. Don't let go of it. But go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I think a message on worry is not complete with what Jesus says in this passage. And we're gonna smooth right through it. We're going to run right through it. It says, for this reason, verse 25, Matthew 6, verse 25, this is in the Sermon on the Mount. For this reason, I say to you, well, let me go back to 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon or wealth or money. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, for it's what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than birds? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, they don't spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow's thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry, then say. Do not be obsessively concerned, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we put on? Because the Gentiles, the world, they eagerly seek those things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now watch. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So quit worrying about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is what she's doing. She's seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, there's a great passage of scripture. It's in Romans 14, 17. You can see it on the screen. You can see it in your notes. The kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit of the living God. Now, let me tell you this. This is important, very important. This word of God will transform you. It will fix you when you do a couple of things with it. When you read it, study it, listen to it, when you believe it, when you obey it. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus will talk about two foundations. Everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. before that, he says, listen, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, does them, he's compared to a wise man who's building his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. Mary is choosing the one thing, and then she's going to let everything else flow out of that. Her busyness, the things that she's responsible for, her giftedness, the ministry that God will call her to, where she'll give, where she serves, but she gets the one thing down. And I'm telling you, if you're walking in obsessive worry, if you're perturbed about something that you can't get rid of, if you are just worried and bothered and it just consumes you with, it may be money, it may be a diagnosis, it may be what's going on in culture and what's going on in the world, you lay it down. And you get to this word and you let this word wash you and cleanse you and do the thing that the word of God does, so that you can get up from the feet of Jesus, watch, and just simply be Jesus to a lost and dying world. To be it to your spouse, to be it to your parents, to be it to the church, to be it to the community. Stop worrying. Repent of being bothered. Just as we said last week, just stop it. It is not causing you to live better. It's not causing you to add a single hour to your life. Matter of fact, it's probably taken away the hours from your life. Stop worrying. This great God is your Lord. He's your provider. He's your peace. He's the power. He's the presence in your life. And you have everything you need to live godly. Now, I'm not telling you to throw it all out and not be concerned. If you think I'm saying that, you don't know me. I'm not saying go be happy and go lucky. I'm not saying that. We've got responsibility. We've got things to do, things to accomplish for the kingdom of God. It's just, if we get it mixed up and think it's all about serving and we miss being at the feet of Jesus, we won't get it. It'll kill us. And I see it all the time in people's lives. Busy, 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 busy. And not getting the nourishment that they need in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to finish this morning by just noticing, just for a moment, Psalm 27. Psalm 27. So go there. You can let go of that. And then I'm going to ask Sarah to come on up. Okay. And she's going to start playing. I really believed that we needed to do an invitation today. An invitation to lay the troubles, the trials, the difficulties, the things that you're so worried about. And I want you to notice what is going on in David's life. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries, my enemies, they stumbled and they fell. And though a host encamp against me, watch, my heart will not fear. The war rises against me. In spite of this, I will be confident. And notice the next. One thing. Remember, he's king. One thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek. Get these adversaries off my back. I need some more money in the treasury. My relationship with, well, he's got more than one wife. Relationship with my wife, bad, hard, difficult. Fix it. One thing I've asked. One thing that I desire, one thing I want, this is what I'm seeking, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Do you know what he said on another occasion? He says, one day in your house is better than 1,000 outside. And this is the warrior king. This is the victorious king. This is the guy that kills Goliath. This is the guy that faces fear and gets rid of it and vanquishes it. Why? Because he's spending his life choosing the one thing, the presence of God. That's what Mary was doing. She was first and foremost putting her eyes on Jesus and looking for this word from him about every area of her life. And that's what he's saying here. One thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he'll conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he'll hide me, and he'll lift me upon a rock. And now watch, my head will be lifted above all my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tents sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me. When you said, seek my face. Oh, my heart said, oh God, your face I will seek. Literally, face is the presence of that person. Face to face, in your face, whatever you want to say it, it's right there in the presence of that person. And he's saying, listen, seek my face, seek my presence, seek the power of my presence. In my presence is fullness of joy. At my right hand, he says, are pleasures forever. Even when the onslaught is coming, when all these things are coming my way, what do I do? Wring my hands? Worry, fear? No. We seek the Lord. We seek his presence. We seek his leadership. We seek his way. And then we line up and we follow Jesus. And he says, listen, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. I'll give you ministry. I will bless you. I will do these things. Just follow me. Follow me. Follow me. But what we do is we follow the other thing. We follow our flesh. We follow our junk, our stuff. We walk in hurt feelings. We walk in bitterness. We walk in anger. And what do? We don't seek the face of God. We seek our face. We seek our ways. Not David. When you said, oh Lord, seek my face, my heart said, oh God, I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to seek your presence. I'm going to seek you. It even goes on in 10, says, my mother and my father, they have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Oh God, teach me your way. Verse 11, lead me in a level path because of my foes, and do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the Lord in the land of the living. I want you to bow with me in prayer right now. And I want to ask the question, because it's a very important question this morning. Have you been distracted? Have you been worried? Have you been disturbed? Perturbed? Disgusted about some things? This morning, with all my heart, I believed that we're supposed to open up this altar. Sarah's going to sing, go come to the altar. And hopefully we'll have it up on the words. Have words, so when we stand in a moment, we'll be able to sing with her. But I want to ask the question, are you willing to lay down what you're worried about? What you're bothered about? What you're disturbed about? What you're distracted about? And maybe this moment, just as an act of obedience and an act of faith, you'd come and you kneel at this altar like you would kneel at the feet of Jesus to say, God, I'm listening. God, I'm hearing. God, I'm yours. Lord, I'm tired of following my flesh. I'm tired of following the temptation of the enemy. I'm tired of following these things, Lord. And today is the day that I'm going to say with Mary, I'm going to choose the one thing. And we're going to choose it as a couple. We're going to choose it as a family. We're going to pray the one thing, Jesus and his word, life that comes forth from that, to know that the Word of God is living and active, and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, that it's inspired by God. It is inspired to reprove you, to correct you, to teach you, to change you. That's what it is. And so when I get to this Word, I'm asking God to do these things and to be able to say, oh, God, I've walked in sin over this. I've walked in accusations over this. I've been Martha. No more. I want to be Mary. I want to be like Mary. I want to follow you. And I pray that the conviction of God would be upon our heart. Now let me just say this. You coming forward, which you ought to not really care about, doesn't just automatically think that you're just struggling with this. You may be struggling with something else. This altar is open for you. But I promise you, you come and you let God work. And we got people ready to pray for you. If you need prayer, just let me know. We'll find somebody. But would you stop worrying and seek first the kingdom of God? Will you sit at the feet of Jesus for the rest of your life and learn from him? Would you take his yoke upon you? Because his yoke is easy, his burden is light. Would you make an exchange today where you take off this stuff of worry and you lay it on the altar and you walk back to your place and you walk out of here with a spirit of confidence and a spirit of faith in Jesus and his word? It's time to stop. It's time to stop worrying. It's time to stop walking in fear. It's time to attack the anxiety. It's time to break the power of worry by seeking him first and choosing the one thing. You might say, God, I've not been choosing the one thing. I've been choosing everything but the one thing. But today I choose the one thing. I'm nailing it down right now. And this is how we're going to walk. This is how I'm going to lead my family. This is how I'm going to lead my people. With great confidence. Because I believe we're going to see the Lord in the land of the living. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bless this moment. I pray that it would be a moment of faith to get out of the chair, to stand up as people are singing, as Sarah's leading, to come down to this altar and lay whatever they need to lay down. And I pray for the courage. I pray for the boldness. I pray for the faith. I pray, God, you'd come in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand together and let's sing unto the Lord as an invitation. Stand here to receive you. Pass me up if you need to and come straight to the altar. You come right now, right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, just all over the place. It's your time. Sing it to him, okay?
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
I really feel led to do this. If you're at the altar, would you come right here to the middle? Just a minute. I want to pray for y'all right now. And if you want to get to your seat, I just feel really impressed to do this. So just come on up. You know, just come on, stand up right here. Yeah, just kind of fill this little space up right here. I want to pray for you. I want to speak over you. If you've gone back to your seat and you want a part of this, do that. If you want a part of it and you've not left your seat, I just believe that God wants to do it. Yeah, come on a little bit closer. I want to be able to, for you to see me, for you to be able to talk to me. Come on, come on. Yeah, a little more. Just kind of following behind. I'm going to pray for you right now, okay? Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want to ask that the Spirit of the living God would fall upon these folks who've come to this altar today. I want to ask that you would come and you'd solidify your love for them, that they would know that you love them, that you bless them, that God, that you have so much for them, that every area of life, that all the things that they're worrying, Lord, I know that they're college students here right now worrying about their future, worrying about their classes, worrying about their stuff. I know there's some here that are worrying about the sin that they've walked in the last few weeks, and that, Father, they have this regret. They have this thing and they can't get free from it. And I want to ask in Jesus' name that right now, whatever we've brought to this altar today, that it would be left here right now, and that the Spirit of the living God would fall fresh upon every single one of these folks, Lord. And that, God, that you would move in a mighty, mighty way. And that, Father, today they'd make the commitment to choose the one thing, Lord, that is better than life. The one thing of sitting at your feet, knowing your presence, knowing your word, understanding your word. And I just want to pray that you would do that for every single person at this altar right now. Every single person right now that has their hands lifted up saying, that's what I want, Lord. I want that today in the name of Jesus. And I want to ask, God, that you'd make a way, Lord, in their lives. And that, Father, in the next few hours, that you would just show them, just confirm with them in just some gentle way that speaks the language of their heart to know that you're at work right now. I pray for those that have confessed sin. I pray they walk from this place free. I pray for those that have walked this aisle with so much worry, so much fear, so much anxiety, that today's the day that they break the power of worry and fear and the power of sin today. Lord, I want to ask that, Father, they would know that their identity is found in you and you alone, not in what they've done in the past, but what you're doing right now, right here. I ask, God, in Jesus' name, that you fill us with your Spirit right now, that the Spirit of the living God would come and bring comfort and bring life and bring power and bring strength right now, right here. God, I ask, God, that you come right now and comfort those who are mourning right now. Comfort those who are mourning right now over whatever. It may be a loss of a loved one, loss of somebody in their life. It may be the loss of time, the loss of that season in their life, that loss of when they walked in that sin. Right now, I want to pray you comfort them and bring such a great new joy. For whoever the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Whoever the Son sets free shall be free indeed. And Lord, you are the freedom giver. And I want to ask that these folks would go back to their places, back to their homes, knowing that you've set them free today. And life will no longer be the same as they follow you. And I want to thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Okay, I want you to look at me for just a second. I'm going to talk to you for a second. Enemy's a liar. He is a liar. He is the accuser of the brethren. Okay, that's what he does. He's also the deceiver. Okay, he's the roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And I'm going to tell you, he's going to speak lies to you. And you got to stand on the truth of what God says, of who he is, and what he did at the cross. This is not about you accomplishing anything. This is about the work of the cross and you believing that it was the cross, it was the blood, it was the resurrection of Jesus that did all of this for you. And that's why we stand before him, not to say because I walked in this ministry or I gave my life to you or I. No, it's you, Lord. And if you will confess that it's you at work, it's you on the move in our lives, and that we're going to follow you, not going to follow my heart, I'm going to follow your life, your heart, your word. And that's my prayer for you. That as you do this, you can go from this place free, open your Bibles tonight before you go to bed or in the afternoon and see what God says to you. I believe it for you. And will you move in it today? Will you take the commitment that you made and God birth within you a faith to believe that what he did 2,000 years ago, he did for you, and he did it for you today, whatever you brought to him. And whatever you brought to him, you leave it right here. And you go with confidence today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your pastor loves you, praying for you. If you need me, my number's in the fold. You just call us. We will come. We will meet. We will bless. You will bless. We'll connect. I believe that with all my heart. One more prayer. I want you to stand up here for the blessing, okay? Okay, just one more prayer. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing right now. Father, I pray that we choose the one thing and let you take care of the rest. And Lord, we stand right now to say, Lord, if we choose the one thing. So Lord, when you speak, we're going to listen. When you ask, we're going to do. We're going to keep giving up what we need to give up, laying down what we need to lay down, and we're going to pick up what you're asking us to pick up. I pray for that power. I pray for that grace. I pray for that life. I pray it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you, lift up his countenance towards you, and give you peace right now, right here. As you go, as you come, as you lay these things down that we're talking about, as you become worry-free in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you all.